so many things that come to mind in terms of the lesson that are to be drawn from a dear failure. And what this movement signifies and means in the sequence of human history, that it becomes difficult to confine oneself within the framework of a brief lecture. It should be taught at length, taking into consideration very, very many aspects involving the various Jewish communities that were destroyed in this Churban. European Jewry, both in the western portion of Europe and in eastern Europe, which was the center, the nerve center of world Jewry as far as my meaning, men of faith are concerned, and to be able to analyze from each one of the communities swallowed up in that sea of suffering, to take from that what we should be able to take along for future generations. In view of the fact that the tragedy encompassed so great an area, it's very difficult to confine oneself to a brief lecture. So we will try, however, to draw forth some general considerations from the overall picture of this tragedy, what it represented and what it means in the continuity of Jewish life from Sinai and prior to that until Via Tagria. We have to realize, first and foremost, that we have to look at the Churban through the perspective of Emunah. It's a totally different perspective than that of those who look to it through a perspective of secularization, who see history in general through a secular perspective. The Jew of faith sees history as a manifestation of the will of Hashem Yisroel. All that takes place in history is merely what Hashem wishes to impress us with. And so for us, the approach to history, to historical facts, is that Pasuk in Torah, Zechor Yemos Olam, Binu Shnois Doer Vadoer. If you wish to remember the days of yore, you must decide to delve into and understand in the perspective of Torah what generation to generation means. And Chazal tell us that Kol Yemei Olam means go back to the origin of history. Go back to the 6 days of creation. And from there you will be able to draw the inspiration necessary in order to be able properly to observe what are Shnois Doer Vadoer down through the ages. This is the perspective of the man of faith, of the Emunah of faith. Outside of the ramifications of the Shnois Doer Vadoer, history becomes a conglomerate of facts open to the interpretation of every individual as he sees fit. And so, this is not the way a Torah Jew is to approach a tragedy of such dimension as the Churban represents. When you begin to think upon the very term of the Munet, you begin to realize that the English word used for that is very misleading. We speak about faith. The word Emunah comes from the root of omon, trustworthiness, reliability, forming aiming bone. A person must have a trustworthiness. He must be one who can be relied upon if he wishes to understand things properly. And you gain reliability in the framework of Judaism only if it's founded upon Torah. Beyond that, what man himself will decide for himself is totally unreliable. We are limited in our capacity. We can't see through to the end of things. The only one who sees to the end of things is he who has created all these things. And he has given us his insight into things, into creation, in Sefer Tehillim. And therefore, in order to be a person, as a teenager, someone can be relied upon, he can only look upon history with a viewpoint of faith. There is another meaning in Emunah. Emunah means, in Russian, among pedagogues, to be brought up, to be raised, as a mother, as a father, as a nurse, raises and brings up the child in her care. B'nei Emunah, people of faith of Emunah, are those who realize that they are brought up and raised, sustained and nurtured through Hashem Yisroel. That's what Emunah refers to. So for a person of Emunah, there can be only one approach to understanding anything in history, and certainly so great a tragedy as represented in the Quran. We know that many say that they have questions to ask. How could it be? Where is there a God? Could there be a God? A lot of other foolish questions. I think the same should be true if someone who has never studied medicine would suddenly decide that he has a question to ask. How come he took this certain drug and he had a terrible side effect? And I don't believe in medicine. It's not a science, it's worthless. A doctor would tell him you're a fool. You've never studied the science of medicine. You know nothing of medicine. And you ask questions. And because you, the ignoramus, have no answer, therefore you decide and you make your own decision. And yet when it comes to matters of the Emunah, we do accept what the ignorant say and what their opinion is becomes the approach to history. But that's due to the fact that according to the Shemayim and Kutsu Yira Shemayim, everything is ordained by heaven, except the fear of heaven, belief in Hashem Yisroel. Were that to be ordained, there would be nothing left for us. And so since this is not ordained, And it is we who must, through free volition, decide to act in accordance with fairness. Therefore, all foolishness becomes wisdom. And all suits the devil becomes intellectualism. To the mind, to the one who believes, there is no such thing as I don't believe because I have questions to ask. The Kaya Lawson has said long ago to one of his Talmudim who left the folds of the Luna. He asked him, who should be how come? He told him, I have unanswerable questions. And he said, no, my son, you don't have questions, you have teachings, you have answers. You don't like the idea of the duties of the burden of Yiddishkeit imposed upon you by Torah. You don't like the duties of the Emunah imposed upon you. And so you have to apologize for that and find reasons for that. And your reasons become your facets. You find answers to be able to live in peace with yourself. When in truth, you are a vessel with yourself. There are no questions that are unanswered. Is then man unfathomable? Is then man limitless? Are then our intellectual capacities beyond reproach? Is it then true that what we don't understand is non-existent? We'd be fools to say so. The Jew of faith says differently. Gan Kiele, the Gate Talmudis, Leiro, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not fear evil. Why? To ask for you, Mori, because you, O God, are continual and at all times with me. Whether the child understands that his father is with him or not, is not of significance at all. The fact is that were the father not leading his child to the mire, he'd never get through. Be it gates or moments, so dark, without light, without answers, but I always know the apple moment, you are with me. Were it not for that, we would have been lost from the face of history long ago. We would long ago have become fossils, as that great British historian Toynbee would like us to be. Until the happy end, we continue to live, and we refuse to become fossils. Only because he asked him not to. That's the way a Jew of Emunah approaches all facets of living. Whether they be moments of chesed akim and rachme akim, whether they be moments of mercy and loving kindness, or whether they be moments of yishpot and dealing of the judgment of Hashem Yisborah in bringing what we may think is punishment upon humankind. One of the great rabbis who lived during the period of the Holocaust, who was lost to us together with all the others, sent a telegram here to Baal HaSoet during those years. And he says in the telegram that for those who ask, there are no answers. But for those who believe, there are no questions. There was great what is in package. tell us the passage of our ancient teaching. He wrote that from the valley of the shadow of death. And very surely, the most likely will be that. This is the perspective of the moon. Now you may think that this kind of a perspective means that we're emotionally unstable. And we have been accused of that long, long ago. Our people are very unstable people. Emotionally unstable. What's wrong with us? The good Lord came and gave them and given a prayer. And he said, I want to give you a prayer. So you said, now, we'll perform anything you'll tell us. And then we'll wait to have you tell us what you're interested in. That's the most foolish thing in the world. First ask, what is it you want of me? Then I'll be able to determine. Am I able to fulfill it? Am I able to perform it or not? Anyone who says Nash is a foreign, something is emotionally wrong with it. Then I'm a believer. What does the brother say? The brother says, it's not instability. Too much is surely fancy. The innocent are guided and led through that innocence which stems from Yeshua, from the fact that we are straight-minded. What does that mean? Kohelet said, Erechim oso eto odom yosef. Hashem Yisborah created man straight, without any crookedness whatsoever. Not to right, not to left. Straight as a rock. That's the way it was created. And that gives innocence to a person. If he lives by that straight-mindedness, if he doesn't want, through human considerations, through human fallacies and foibles, to ruin that straightness, to turn it crooked, then he is left great throughout life. He must be showing policy. But what happened? The Hamo Vichu, he spring is rabbi. Humankind seeks human consideration. Need you do? Not enough. What the good Lord has done for us. We have to ask something of our own. We have to put out two cents into the bargain. What happens from that? Then we deviate. We're no longer straight. Once you deviate, well then, you're from a horse. Why do you say now at first? Find out what he wants from you and see whether he's able to do it. But when one walks in the innocence of the straightness of Hashem, one realizes that Hashem is Bora in the Bobby Kingdom in Israel. He's not a tyrant. He won't ask me to do what I'm unable to perform. And if he says do it, no matter what it's going to be, it means that he who has created me has determined that it's within my capability to be able to perform. That's what Yahweh speaks in the first place. But where came of each of his family, then tell us, breaking you shut in. Man becomes self-destructive by the very falseness which he himself creates for himself. And so false does one become, so great does the shaker become, that when one is confronted with the light of truth, he says that emotional instability, I'm a Jesus. And so we need not be overwhelmed by what secularists want to see in viewing the Churban, just as we should never become overwhelmed and influenced by all their interpretations of Jewish history down through the ages. Those interpretations which refuse to recognize that in history we see Mahdi Yorokalak in his voice, the acts of attendance for us. What should strike us is to the contrary. Not why did Hashem do it? We should ask questions much closer to our pattern of understanding. What is Western culture? What is Western civilization? Didn't they perpetrate this horror? Who did it? Nazi Germany. What was Germany? The center of Western culture. University of Berlin, University of Heidelberg, and all the others. Centers of European culture for centuries. And they didn't do it alone. Not only Germany. Were the Romanians better? Were the Hungarians better? Were the Poles better? The Lithuanians, the Latvians, the Estonians, all the same. Where is Western culture? Where are Western morals? Where are Western ethics? Those were the ones who did it actively, and the rest did it passively. What did America do about it? He's a gedenkt America. The country that we owe a lot of appreciation to. There's never been a country so kind to Jews. So how did they react? They didn't know what was happening untrue. They knew they had definite reports from all the concentration camps, from all the death camps. They knew exactly where they were located. But they turned their eyes sideways. See how did you do? Say that someone else did the job. Did anyone ask, where was the loving kindness and mercy of that religion of love in the papal seat of Rome? What did they do about it? Not only passively, but actively engaged in it. Wasn't one of their bishops in Slovakia part of the Nazi regime? Who murdered thousands upon thousands of Jews? Wasn't the Bishop of Krakow, that same Yisroel, who when Jews came to him to ask for some protection, he said, "You killed our Savior." This is Western culture. This is Western civilization. That's closer to home. That's the secular world that we're always impressed with. Where were they? How do men, human beings, turn into animals? Doesn't that question bother anyone? Is there an answer to it? Why don't people rebel against all this culture? Why don't they deny its veracity? Why aren't universities closed down? The hotbeds of all this. No question that. There's a meaning in that Western culture. There's belief in Western culture. And where there is belief, you don't ask questions. Where there is no belief, that's the question. Let's then take it home to ourselves. If we ask questions and we sometimes emit from our mouths the answer who is within the English on, you should immediately begin thinking, why don't I ask the same question about those hotbeds of Western culture? Where did it all grow? Where did it all develop? And continues to develop. Why don't we ask questions about the military academies in this country? Why don't we ask questions about universities in these countries, in this country, where lectures on anti-Semitism are propagated? serve Western culture. We rise up in protest against the boy who said something against Jews, and we forget that we're Mongolians. We're fools. We remove totally the Jew of Emunah, the Jew of faith, is removed totally from where he should be standing, and where he should ask questions, there he doesn't. Where he should not be asking questions, that's where he does ask questions. There's another lesson to be learned from this tragedy. Not merely the lesson of the total bankruptcy of the secular world, of the free Western world. There's another lesson that we have to learn. That lesson is an important fundament in Emunah. That Kigam Tielik Begate Talmudic. That for a Jew. And that's why not all who went through the Inner Kaboko are those who say that in Shulam there was no God. But many came out strengthened, fortified through the burning furnace of Kuru. Why is that? Because where there is a Munah, one meets Hashem Yisbora under all conditions. And I repeat again what I have said so many times, a lesson that I was privileged to learn from my teacher and mentor, the Tzolt'er Rebbe, the Chassadic Rebbe. Korol Ein Yoyed, Vish Goyer Bakuroi, is a person. Hashem Yisborach has designated an appointed time for the purpose of breaking down my best. And from that portion is derived the deen that on Tisha B'Av, the day of Shvirat Machuron, we don't say Tachin because it's Moed, the same as all the Yom Tovim. It's the most difficult thing to understand. Yom Tov is a Pesach. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. These are days of Simchah. When we meet with Hashem Yisborach in the elation of knowing that we're able to enjoy His goodness. You don't think Tachin on such things. What's the teachable? The day of national mourning. When we keep reminding ourselves over and over again of the fact that we are not what we were, that we've lost what we have, and we're left only with hope for a glorious future, then we should be happy. And the Rebbe, the Rebbe of Rocha, pointed out the eternal lesson that in walking through life, you meet Hashem Yisborach in two manners. He manifests himself to us in two ways. Sometimes the moed, the appointed hour of meeting with Hashem Yisborach, the hour of communion, is sometimes in simchah, joy and elation. And sometimes it's in tzar. Always we meet Him. When we are worthy of His goodness, we meet Him in simchah. When we are unworthy of His goodness, we meet Him in tzar. A child has a father not merely to tell him, oh, what a wonderful son you are. He has a father to smite him with the rod because you're doing what's not proper. And woe unto that child who would wish himself to be an orphan, because then no one smites him. Babies to amen. For speech that I know. It's the greatest privilege to have that father.
when I have to be strict. Coro lain rei, lishpel bakuroi. If it's lishpel bakuroi, that in itself is an appointment that Hashem is for us. And when you stand in his presence, that so uplifts us that there can be no place for the same of power. This is what a Jew of Emunah, what a mining field, Rak Yerushalayim Koto, only Jerusalem sin, only Klal Yisrael sin, the Uma Yisraelim, and all the nations of the world lay Koto, did they not sin? The answer is a most enlightening one. Certainly they sin. But Yerushalayim Koto the Loiko. Yerushalayim, when it sins, it is smitten, it is punished. The end hurting the end of the world. We have a Father who smites when it is necessary. Mr. Olam, don't stand in proximity with that Father. And so they do many things, let them live their life. That's the glory of Klal Yisrael. Hate Koto, only Yerushalayim. Only we are asked to answer for ourselves. That's the greatness of the Jew. And the greater the Churban, the greater the Jew involved in the Churban. We see greatness not merely through loving kindness, to be worthy of his chesed. We see the greatness of Klal Yisrael in the Chet Chot of the Leuchim. Only the great are worthy of that being spirit. Schmeissen, schmeissen, nor kinder. That's the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And when we see this, when we become aware of this, then it becomes a fount of strength, of courage, of hope, and of conviction that there will be glorious moments of chesed, of gevurah. The whole problem of Jewish history is a continual change from golus to gevurah, from gevurah to golus. Where are all the nations not to have committed his head? Mankind would have immediately entered into the Ure permanently. But he did see it. He did commit faith. So it then became necessary to have a period of life followed by death. No Pius Amazon once again recognized. This is represented through the entire continuity of Jewish history. Golus back to Eretz Yisrael. But still, we haven't arrived at the peaking, at the perfection. We haven't cleansed ourselves of where we once fell from. So it leads to another Golus. Until finally there will be that Gula, which will return Klal Yisrael to what mankind was originally ordained to be, Odom Harishon Kriyam Hashem. And so when we see Golus, and when we see all the tzar, all the tragedy contained in this Golus, it inspires us with the hope and with the conviction that there is a great morrow that will shine the sun of Yehuda. And that is a Gemara in the Talmud. The Rekive and his colleagues went up to the Harabais and they saw Shuo Yotzei Kodesh HaKodoshim. They saw an animal
a fox coming out from that location where once there stood the cutting bull once a year to bring expiation for a cloudy soil, to bring them into the presence of Hashem Yisborach, so that they might feel, Borei Lachem Hashem Elokeichem, we and only we are the children of a great father. From that place now, that lies in destruction, wild animals roam therein. And so his colleagues broke down in tears. And Rabbi Akiva said to them, why do you cry? They said to him, they answered, how can we not weep? This Holy of Holies has now become the domain of animals. And Rabbi Akiva said, that's why I am full of laughter, but full of seeking. Just as this promise and forewarning of Hashem Yisborach has become fulfilled before our eyes, and we see that the word of Torah and the word of the prophet is true beyond any semblance of doubt, because every item in the Churban, the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Churban Bayis Sheni, and all this long verse, which is a part of Churban Bayis Sheni, every item, every iota of Churban, was totally mapped out in two parshas of the Torah Kodesh, in Bekukosai and in Kisovei. Bekukosai speaks of Churban Bayis Rishon, Kisovei of Churban Bayis Sheni, and the picture of Churban written in the Torah is far greater than that Churban that we've lived through, even though so great is the tragedy. And everything that has happened down through the ages is recorded therein, and we've been forewarned. This is what will take place. So Rabbi Akiva said, we see before our eyes the fulfillment of those words. Are we then not convinced of the truth of Torah? Do we not see that every word of Torah is truth alone? This be so, then I see before myself not this Churban. I do not see the roaming place of wild animals. I see here a Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. I see here a Klal Yisroel return. I see here Tzion v'Mishpat Tipoleh v'Shaveh v'Tzdocho. This is what I see, and therefore I'm overjoyed. This is what a mind sees in tragedy. This is the perspective of Emunah. And in order to see this properly, it is necessary that we learn the dimensions of this last Churban, that we become acquainted with it, to know what these communities were, to know what a Polish Jewry represented for nearly 1,000 years, what it meant for Torah, what it meant for Yiddishkeit, to know what a Lichtische Judentum represented, to know what a Hungarian Judentum represented, what Romanian Jewry gave to us, to know these communities, and to realize what was destroyed, to realize what we possessed, in order to know how great was the loss, and from the knowledge of the loss, to gain a consciousness, to gain an awareness of the truth. Through this aspect of Churban, to learn and see what was stated in Chukesai Tisovari, here it is. It was there in Churban Bayis Sheni when the Romans did the job. It was there in Kishinev. It was there in Zeres Tachmetach. It was there in Ahitra, Europe. But every word of what took place is clearly spelled out in these Parshas Atire that were elaborated a bit more in the Dibrei Nevi'im HaKadoshim. He spoke in their glowing, burning terms of what Yerushalayim means and what its law means. When we see this truth, then you shall become inspired with that font of Emunah and realize here is truth. And therefore, there's no question at all that just as this has been fulfilled, and nothing is missing, so also shall be fulfilled all the words of Tehillah about the Emunah. All the wonderful nevuahs of the Nevi'im HaKadoshim about the Emunah. That's why throughout Tehillah, throughout Novi, Churban and Nevuah go together. Tehillah! The chastisement of the Novi against sin and crime, speaking of Churban, goes hand in hand with the Chomer of the Emunah. And if we are witness to the Tehillah, every word of it is true, there's no question in our mind that we believe that Hashem is safer to be witness to the Emunah in the public. These are the prime lessons that a Jew of the Emunah has to draw forth from this period of Jewish history. And not merely from this period alone, from this last Churban. There are many Churbanos in Jewish life. Many. And we cannot and we dare not view this Churban as the Churban. This is a final aspect, let us hope, of the process of Churban and Geula, leading us in what we all hope for. That final unmining of the Yitzhiva Ikri Emunah, the Yitzhiva HaMashiach. And even though he be delayed, nevertheless am I filled with that hope. Which hope? The call the that every day is a day that he may come. Not only do I hope every day that he will come, but every day is a day worthy of his coming. That's what Emunah to the Jew of Emunah means. And it is this Emunah that we are required to draw forth from this great tragedy of Churban, Churban of European Jewry. You shouldn't look at it in the form of statistics. You have to look at it and understand it in depth. What were these Tehillahs? What did they contribute to the eternity of Klal Yisrael? How much was lost by their destruction? And from there to understand that we must be full of hope. That hope goes along with the conviction that we must do something about it. We must be the ones to bring forth Bezer Hashem Yisborach, the final Geula, in following the dictates of Torah, in not being influenced by secular approaches to problems of Jewish life, but to realize that there's only one approach to anything and everything, and not merely in Jewish life, but for all of life, for the entire cosmos. The only approach is fear. To strengthen our lives in Torah observance. To see to it that the men in Jewish life study Torah. Study Torah daily. Women here, drive your men to the study of Torah. That's what brings forth Geula. That's what saves from Churban. Saves from being influenced by alien influences, strange from Torah ideals. We shall apply ourselves in this manner to the life of a Jew, to the perspective of Torah, filled with the awareness of Emunah, overwhelmed with the hope and the conviction.
And certainly, in Rashid's Torah, we will realize, be as real, say it, and take a little on.